and his army of 3,000. And once again, God seemed to be opening the door for David to rid himself of this pest, this one who chased him, this one who wished to take his life for no reason. The whole camp of Saul's were asleep, as you may recall. A very deep sleep. So deep that it would seem to David and to Abishai that they could openly speak and not disturb the slumber of those around them. Even the sentry guards to the camp were in a deep slumber. How obvious that the hand of God was involved in this. Men were sleeping so hard that they wouldn't even hear David and Abishai walking and talking right through the middle of them. Yet we finished with this thought. Do not be too quick to declare this or that to be God's will. Many a times we do not know until long after an incident whether it be God's will or not. So let us not be too quick to make those decisions. Oh yes, this is God's will. And I use this very thing as an example of how the Lord removed Michael Smith and put me in the position that where I am in now. It was a position that was not taken lightly and it was not taken quickly. Our brother Mike Loveless said, oh, wait a minute, let's go for a while and pray and see and verify that this is where the Lord wants us to go. And we all have agreed that we believe that that seems to be the Lord's will and how it went. We do not want to be too quick to make a decision saying this is God's will. Let's pray about these things. Wisdom comes with much prayer and supplication. Wait on the Lord is what the scripture tells us. Yeah. Trust in the Lord is what the scripture tells us. God sent Abigail to calm the blood of David when her husband Nabal had refused meat and even water to the men of David. You'll recall at that night, at that time, David was in going to go, he was on his way to go in and take out the family of Nabal for his rudeness, for the rudeness of Nabal himself. Yet Abigail was sent, God sent to David, this woman who knew, who had a little bit of wisdom about what was going on, to calm him. God took care of this one named Nabal, as you may recall. He died very shortly afterwards. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. It's not ours to take. It's not ours to act upon. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. David's companion Abishai was ready and willing to end this here and there and now. He said one thrust of Saul's own spear would stop the harassment and bring David to the seat of power that David had been promised. Remember, God had told him that he would be king. In fact, Samuel, before he died, even came to David and anointed him that one day he would be king. Everyone seemed to know this very point. Remember, even Abigail had mentioned it in her plea for David to spare the house of Nabal. She said, such a man as you, who will be king at one time, why worry about this small man when you have such bigger worries like Saul to worry about? Yet notice David's reaction is once again to trust in the God's providence. Verse 9 of chapter 26. And David said to Abishai, destroy him not. For who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed to be guiltless? By David's generous refusal to suffer any harm to be done to Saul, can we not see a resolute adherence in his principles and his loyalty? David charged Abishai not to destroy him. Not only would David himself not do it, but he would not permit another to do it either. And he gave two reasons for this. First, he said, first reason is it would be a sinful affront to God's ordinance. Saul was the Lord's anointed king. Our president was put there by our God. The president previous was put there by our God. The men who rule the nations around this world are put there by God. Could we not say that's kind of an anointing? Yeah, we could. Who are we to talk about who God has put in place of something? And I'm talking to myself here, folks. I know I'm as guilty of this as anyone could be. Just as Paul said that he's the worst there is, I can tell you, when it comes to that, complaining about governments and what they do, I'm as a big offender as anyone. Who are we? Who is John to talk against who God has put in place? Saul was anointed king of Israel by God himself, by a special appointment and nomination of the God of Israel. And to resist him is to resist the ordinance of God. Do you hear that, John Reeves? Lord, forgive me. In Romans 13:2, it says, no man could do this and be guiltless. Speaking of taking Saul's life, the thing he feared was guilt, and his concern respected his innocence more than his safety. Turn over for a moment. Mark, hold your spot and turn over to Romans 13. I'd like to read that in your hearing along with me. Let's see what the scripture says about these kinds of moments. These kinds of moments when we should be trusting in our Lord, not complaining about who he sent to rule over us. And this doesn't just go for the presidents of our company, does it? Or of our country. No, it goes for those that we are put in place of, that work above us, who are rulers in the job, in the place where we work. Everyone who has power is power that is given to him by God himself. Our Lord said to the ruler of the time when he was hung on the cross, you wouldn't have that power if my Father hadn't given it to you. And even our Lord, our Savior, who we are supposed to emulate and be like, bowed to the authority of the men of that time, didn't he? Romans 13, verse 1, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinances of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him who doeth evil. Folks, we're reading in Friday night's Bible study about what's going on with Babylon. Is not Babylon used by God to come in and take Israel captive? But not only that, the Medes and the others, the Persians, who were brought against Babylon afterwards, these are all powers that are raised up by our Savior, our Lord, who is sovereign over everything. Wherefore ye must needs, continuing in verse 5 of Romans 13, be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this is the cause, pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth one another hath fulfilled the law. Secondly, the second reason David had for turning back from killing Saul, it would be a sinful anticipation of God's providence. God had sufficiently shown him in Nabal's case that if he left it to him, if we leave it to the Lord, he will take care of it. God had sufficiently shown him in Duvall's case that if he had left it to him to avenge him, he would do it in God's own time. So the encouragement, therefore, by his experience in that instance, he resolves to wait till God shall think fit to avenge him on Saul. And he will by no means avenge himself. Let's go back to our text now in 1 Samuel chapter 26. Continuing in verse 10 where it says, David said furthermore. In other words, Abishai, not only do I not want you to take Saul's life, but furthermore, here's something else. As the Lord liveth, the Lord shall smite him, or his day shall come to die, or he shall descend into battle and perish. The Lord forbid that I should stretch forth mine hand against the Lord's anointed, but I pray thee, take thou now that's the spear that is at his bolster and the curse of water, the cruse of water, and let us go. The Lord shall smite him, he said, as he did Nabal, with some sudden stroke, or he shall die in battle, as it is proved, and he did so, and he did so afterwards, soon after. Or maybe if not, his day shall come to die as of a natural death. And I will contently wait till then, says David, rather than force my way to the promised crown by any indirect method. The temptation indeed was very strong, but he should yield. He would sin against God, and therefore he will resist that temptation with the utmost resolution. He said, the Lord forbid that I should stretch forth my hand against the Lord's anointed. Or in other words, no, I will never do it, nor suffer it done. Thus bravely does he prefer his conscience to his interest and his trust, and he trusts God with the issue. Verse 12 we read, so David took the spear and the cruse of water from Saul's bolster, and they gat them away, and no man saw it nor knew it. Neither awaked, for they were all asleep, because a deep sleep from the Lord was fallen upon them. Just walked right in. Took a spear and walked right out. Our Lord does things so wonderfully, does he not? He provides what we need. Oh, how often we can see our Lord's hand and how he has brought a man to read a certain scripture that goes right along with everything else that is going along with the Bible study, how the Bible study relates to Friday night's Bible study just a moment ago. This is all God's work, folks. These are the things that our Lord does, and it just blesses me so much to see him do these kinds of things in our lives. But it is he who does it. It's not us, it's not me, it's not you, it's not my wife, it's not any of you. It is our Lord who has done these things in us and moves us to go certain ways, just as he moved those men to sleep. Just as he moved David. You see, David wasn't any smarter than he was before, but our God used David differently right here. Rather than stir up David, allow David's heart to be stirred up by the wrath, the natural man in him, our Lord calmed him and gave him the faith to trust in our Savior, just as he gives each and every one of us the faith to trust in him when we're in trials. That blesses me greatly. I'm going to use you as an example, Bill. Oh, how often in his trials of the first part of that cancer, and you all have experienced this and seen it, haven't you? Our Lord used Bill to show us his work by giving Bill the ability to say it is in our Lord's hands. And how often, and we know that things were probably in turmoil in his mind at times, but how often our Lord used that situation and the way Bill addressed it to bless our hearts. That was our God. That was our Savior doing that. And he'll tell you that. Oh, how our Lord prepares the way for us. What a blessing that is. The Lord shall smite him as he did Nabal. Oh, I'm sorry, we already read that. The improvement he made of this opportunity for the further evidence of his own integrity, he, speaking of David and Abishai, carried away the spear and the cruse of water which Saul had by his bedside, and which was very strange, none of all the guards were aware of it. If a physician had by chance given them the strongest opioid or a stupefying dose of some kind of drug, they could not have been faster locked up with sleep. Saul's spear, which he had by him for defense, and his cup of water, which he had for his refreshment, were both stolen right from under his nose while they slept. Now, I'm going to pause here for just a moment, and I want to consider our God's great wisdom. Turn over to Revelation chapter 5, if you would. We're going to leave Samuel for just a moment. Revelation chapter 5. God prepared this moment as he has prepared all things for the loved ones, those that he has loved before the world was. By the wisdom of God, he prepared a way of salvation for his chosen. Just as our Lord prepared that camp by his mighty sovereign power, will, and providence, he prepared a sacrifice for his people. That sacrifice, Christ the Lord, our substitute, was called the Lamb of God. In Genesis 22:7, you don't need to turn there, and Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father, and he said, Here am I, son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham had it right. He had it exactly right. Words that were given to him by God himself. My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. And so they both went together. God gives us everything we need. He provides everything we need. Not just what we see here in this life that we live in, this path that we walk, but everything. The whole idea, and this blows me away. This just, I don't know. I know I don't do justice in explaining it in the size that it expands in my mind, but our country, this land that we live in, was provided so each and every one of you would hear the gospel preached, so I would hear the gospel preached. And everything before that, if you think about it, you can continue right all the way back to Adam, can't you? Everything has been provided for us that we would come to Christ someday. In the first chapter of John, again, you don't need to turn there, we are told of John the Baptist who went forth. He went before our Savior crying as one in the wilderness, Behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. He is called the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. 29 times our Savior is referred to the Lamb in the book of Revelation alone. Are you with me in chapter 5? Of Revelations, let's begin at verse 1. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open the read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the 7 seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and the 4 beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came, and he took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 and 20 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, and riches, and wisdom, and strength, and honor, and glory, and blessings. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessings and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. Our Lord prepared the way. What peace can be held to a child? What peace can be had to a child of the Most High? Our God rules. Everything, Donna, even the red lights that we get stuck behind. One who has been. What peace can be had to a child of the Most High, one who has been forgiven their sins by the works of this Lamb of God? An offering was prepared and executed for our sins. Just as our Lord prepared the way for David to walk unharmed through the midst of his enemies, so our great God prepares a way of salvation for his people. Salvation is of the Lord, and of the Lord alone. In John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father by me. Folks, we have a sure one to place our hope in. The way to God is by God. It's by God himself. And if he has prepared the way, can anything get in his way? It cannot be frustrated. If so, then we could not call him God. But he is God, and nothing can turn his purpose. In Luke 2:49 it says, And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Why wished ye not that I must be about my Father's house? I'm talking about the preparation. Our Lord had said to his mother and his father, Why are you looking for me? I come here all along to do my Father's will. God has prepared the way. Each step had to be taken. Matthew 16:21, it says, From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. In the 19th chapter of Luke, verse 5, we read, And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, speaking to Zacchaeus, who had climbed up a tree, he said, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide in thy house." John Reeves, you must come to the house of God today to hear, because the gospel is going to be preached to you. Pastor Gene went like this to me. He says he didn't, but I know he did. My Lord had to prepare the heart, just as he prepared the message for the man to stand before me and preach. In the third chapter of John, verse 14, we read, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." Look to him. Look to the Son of Man, and the vipers have no effect on you. In John chapter 10, verse 16, "And other sheep," he says, our Lord Jesus, "and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." Our great God declares he must. The question is, do we believe? The way through this valley of the shadow of death has been prepared by our great God, and God does not make mistakes, folks. The death of 3,000 on 9/11 was not a mistake. The death of all those people by a man sitting in a high-rise building and shooting them was not a mistake. Cancer is not a mistake. Our God does not make mistakes. In fact, he does everything well. We can rest in him. His vengeance against evil and wickedness will come in his time. We can rest in him. Amen.